Good morning and welcome to Manzanita Voices. I'm your host, Linda Field, and I interview writers. And I try to help you stay informed about the events in the world of writing. You know, it's hard to believe, but this show has been on the air for almost a year now. The first broadcast was June 5th, 2011, and I've talked with dozens of writers since then. I want to thank you, all of my listeners, for making this show possible and for keeping me going with your interest and your feedback. You know, I don't get paid for doing this show. I do it because I love it. I do it because I like to keep you informed. And my reward is, first of all, getting to meet these wonderful people that I've had on as my guests. I've met so many wonderful, interesting writers over the last year. And another form of payment is when I hear from you. When you send me your emails at linda@manzamedia.com and tell me whether you'd like the show, or even if you didn't like the show, or give me ideas and suggestions for topics that you'd like to have covered in the future, that's my reward. I couldn't do this program without you and without my guests. This program also would not exist without the wonderful support of the Calaveras County Arts Council in San Andreas. They do so much to support our Writers Unlimited writers and our Manzanita Writers Press. We have our Writers Unlimited meetings in the gallery, so we're always surrounded by creativity. The wonderful paintings and drawings and sculptures and jewelry and other creations of Calaveras County artists. The gallery is a wonderful place for you to go if you need to buy a gift for someone. You're sure to find something there that you can't get anywhere else. Beautiful things. It's on Main Street in Old Town in San Andreas. So you should stop in sometime. And one more huge thank you goes to Jim Geedy and his station KBGC Radio, 1340 AM in Jackson. Jim invited us to do this program last year, and at first he suggested that it would be on only once a month. But it didn't take long before he offered us a weekly spot. And Manzanita Writers Press and I are extremely grateful for the confidence he has in us. He's given us a tremendous boost in our organization. My guest today is Jill Klajic-Ryan. We'll be talking with her in just a few minutes. But first, I have some great news about a previous guest and a faithful listener, Helen Bonner. You might remember she was on the program several months ago, and she was talking about her book, Dolphin Papers. Well, it was a finalist in the Eric Hoffer Book Awards. Now, if you're not familiar with the Eric Hoffer Awards, go to hofferaward.com and read up about them. They believe that because the publishing world is changing so rapidly these days, lots of very excellent writers are being buried in the avalanche of all the independent books that are coming out. So they like to give special recognition to free-thinking writers and writers that they believe have exceptional merit. Writers from independent sources. You know, it's a really tough go for people publishing independent books. And the Hoffer Award people understand that lots of these authors are really terrific, and they go out of their way to recognize them. So that's hofferaward.com, H-O-F-F-E-R. If you want to go to the usreview.com, you'll see lots of other information on the Hoffer Awards and other publications from all over the country. And Helen's website is really interesting, too. If you go to hbonnerbooks.com, you'll learn about all of Helen's books, and you'll see a YouTube video of her with Gloria Steinem. In celebration of Helen's recognition, I'm going to read a little bit to you from Dolphin Papers. Now, Helen's book is a sort of a science fiction novel. The plot centers on an experiment being conducted by a Dr. Al Waller, an eccentric, reclusive marine biologist who lives at his laboratory, which is actually an old resort that has a large swimming pool that is situated under a high glass dome. There are two subjects in his experiment, a playful dolphin named Sony and his companion named Mara. Mara is not a dolphin. She's a human child. Dr. Waller is learning a great deal about whether or not dolphins and humans can communicate, and to what extent. But for obvious reasons, he doubts that he'll ever be able to reveal his discoveries to the world. His discoveries are all recorded very carefully in the Dolphin Papers. This is from Chapter 7, where Mara is just about 4 years old. As the sun descends the wall, Mara waits, thrilled, holding her place easily with gentle fluid strokes of her long webbed feet. The miniature ritual begins. First light from the dome strikes the shadowed ledge and the dark chink in the wall. Then there's a faint stirring, and finally, the lovely blue creature emerges from its cluttered nest, muttering and fussing as it fluffs and then smooths the warm, dry feathers on its rusty gray breast. It lifts its head to preen its wings, pulling, straightening each feather with its beak, a faint but expanding aura of blue and pink surrounding the perky blue head, the grayish throat, and plump chest. It perches briefly on the ledge, fluffing itself, bird murmuring contentedly as it strokes its feathers back into place. And then, Mara can barely keep silent. The bird lifts its bill, its tiny chest swells, and one perfect note fills the damp morning air, a high trill followed by three short, sharp cheeps. Mara counts them, one for each of her longest fingers. She tries to imitate the sounds, but her throat feels slippery with bubbles. The bird repeats as if trying to teach her, then gives itself a final shake, dips from its ledge, catches itself by its wings, and pushes through the air. Landing on top of the doors, it folds itself into a slice of blue no bigger than her hand and disappears once more. It will come back, Mara knows. It always does. Then this is a little bit later. As Mara floats, half dreaming, she hears something. A tiny cheep from the shadowed nest. Then a fluffy yellow ball tumbles from the chink in the wall, rights itself, and flaps tipsy circles in the grass. Beep, cheep, beep, cheep. Hearing the fear and desperation in the frail sound, she raises her head and cries for help. Sony races across the pool, spins circles around her, churning the water until it flies in waves over her head, turning her calls into splutters. She scolds him. He pretends to slink away, circling under the water. He grasps her foot and tugs her under. She emerges quickly, her eyes seeking the yellow infant, for she knows that it is an infant, recognizes somewhere within herself the call of the young for its mother. The gates open, and Waller hurries in barefoot, pulling a thick white wrapping around his big body. She clings to the edge of the pool, burbling excitement, pointing at the yellow fluff. His big face softens as he sees the chick. Slowly, slowly, he approaches the frantic fluff ball, murmuring sleepily. He stoops, waits until the tiny creature calms itself, then lifts it in one big hand, holds it against his chest, and brings it to Mara. Its tiny eyes, black, no bigger than seeds, show both fear and courage. She reaches to touch, and her wet fins drench the creature, its yellow fluff dissolving, revealing a skinny gray body. It must not like water, as she does not like dry. Waller gently closes his hands around it and moves away from her, making sounds she now understands like no and okay and a new one, careful. Bird, he says. Bert, she says. Baby bird, he says. Baba Bert, she says. He carries the chick back to the crevice in the wall, stands back with empty hands. She watches, silent, as the nest in the wall grows still. He puts his hand up flat, a signal to leave it alone. Yawning, he steps carefully with his bare feet across the cluttered grass, closing the gate behind him. Mara watches the space above the doors for the returning bluebird. She drifts off to a half-sleep, watching. I like that part of the story because it shows how Mara is changing this gruff old crusty old scientist and bringing out the humanity in him and the tenderness. I thought that was a sweet scene. And you notice also that Mara has some unusual characteristics about her body. She's got long webbed feet, and she has, I think it said, fins on her hands. So her body has adapted to life in the water because she was put there as an infant. You're going to have to read the rest of the book to find out how all this comes together, but it is a very engrossing and entertaining story. And again, I would like to give congratulations to Helen Bonner for the recognition she's received for this. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with my guest. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. My guest today is Jill Klajic Ryan. She's from Columbia, which is in Tuolumne County, not very far from Calaveras County, and not very far, actually, from Amador County, where the program is broadcast. And Jill, I'd like to welcome you. You're going to tell us all about the writers in Tuolumne County, who I understand are very active. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you very much, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's really good to have you with us. Okay, so you're a member of the Sonora Writers Group, and you call yourselves the Second Saturday Group because you meet on the second Saturday of every month. Is that right?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
We call ourselves the Sonora Writers Group, but we do meet on the second Saturday, and we've recently written an anthology that we titled The Second Saturday because of our meeting on the second Saturday.
Oh, that's right. And I was looking through your anthology. It's quite nice. And each writer in your group has work in the anthology, and each person you were telling me had a certain, they have their own section.
Yes.
That's really a great way to arrange it.
Yes.
What work do you have in the anthology?
Oh, I have a short story that I was fortunate enough to win. I think in 2010, I won first place in this Tuolumne County Writers Contest. So it's a short story, and I put that in the anthology along with a couple poems that I have written.
Oh, so you do poems too?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your short story about?
It's called Waiting for You, and it's kind of based on a true story. Of course, I added my own version, my own look on reality, so it's a little bit different, but it's about a lost love that was found again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good story. How many people are in the writers group?
There's approximately 12 of us. Sometimes we have a little more and sometimes a little less, but I would say right now we have 12 members.
And where does the group meet?
In Sonora, above the Starbucks, there where Prudential Realty is located and where the Walmart shopping center is. They have been very nice to us for the last 7-8 years. They've allowed us to meet there for free. That we have their boardroom. It's a very nice place.
Okay, Jill, before we got started, we were talking, and you and I have something in common because I live in Angels Camp, and you are a former Angels Camp resident, too.
Yes. When I originally moved here from Los Angeles, my dream was to live in Angels Camp and be a writer. And
Why Angels Camp and a writer?
Well, because of Mark Twain. I actually own a first edition of all of Mark Twain's books.
You're kidding me.
No. So he's always been my favorite author, and I've been coming up here since I was about 8 years old as a little girl with my mother and father. And so I wanted to move back here when I retired and left Los Angeles.
So did you come from a reading family? It sounds like you did.
No, I came from farmers. They were farmers. They had a dairy farm in Turlock, and in Arkansas they had a cotton farm.
Well, then what was their attraction for Angels Camp if it wasn't... Oh, they like frogs, right? They like frogs.
No, I think they like the country and the mountains because they were from Arkansas, and there's a lot of mountains in Arkansas. But they were storytellers. Oh, my gosh, they were storytellers. They could tell the most fantastic stories, and I grew up listening to them, and now I write about them.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you, when you were down in the Los Angeles area, you had an interesting venture in politics, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Again, I was very fortunate. I was elected to the city council. I helped form the city of Santa Clarita, which at one time was Saugus, Valencia, Newhall, and Canyon Country. And I was on the formation committee. And we formed the city, and then I was elected to the council, and then I had a term as the mayor, and I traveled all over the country and just had a wonderful time and a great education.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. What year was the city of Santa Clarita formed?
In 1987. So it's a new city, relatively new city.
Yeah, sure is. I bet you had a lot of great experiences. What were some of your reasons for travel? To go to Washington, D.C. and meet with other mayors and ask for grant money? Or?
Oh, no. No, I was much more controversial than that. No, the city of Los Angeles and the county of Los Angeles proposed to put a 190 million ton garbage landfill in our city. So I spent at least 12 years of my life fighting that landfill. So I had to learn everything there was to know about landfills, garbage, recycling. I worked on the AB 939 committee to get recycling in California.
Thank you.
Yes, I spent a lot of my life doing that, and we defeated the dump. The dump was never going to happen, and that canyon they proposed is now a beautiful park.
Oh, how wonderful, how wonderful. So where, I know everyone, every community needs a dump, however, so where is the dump?
Well, Los Angeles has their own dumps. We had ours, and we had one out in Santa Clarita, Chiquita Landfill, and that's all we needed. And L.A. needed to make their own dump.
I'm glad that Santa Clarita had a good fighter in their corner. And thank you for getting recycling in California. I am one of the faithful followers of that. And I hope everybody listening is too.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, there was a team of us. There was a lot of people that worked on it for a lot of years. But we managed. Ed Davis, Senator Ed Davis at the time, who is now, of course, long retired. But he was a champion for us too. So I have to give him some credit. He really helped.
Good things take a long time to come to fruition sometimes. So you came to Northern California, or this is actually Central California, and you spent some time in Angels Camp. Then what happened after that?
Well, it's hard to make a living in Angels Camp when you were a single woman. So I had to go, ended up down in Modesto working for Arcadia Home Health Care. I was their marketing director for 7 years. Hmm. And then I recently married, and I married a mountain man, and I moved back to the mountains.
Oh, congratulations on that. Yeah, living in Colombia, for the listeners who are not aware, Colombia is a wonderful old gold rush town, and it is also a state park, and yet people live there.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So the Sonora Writers Group is, you've bitten off a new ambitious enterprise. In September, you're going to be putting on your first writer's retreat. It's called the Tuolumne Writer's Retreat. And I'm sure that all the listeners who live anywhere within a radius, a drivable radius, are going to want to hear about this. So tell me about the retreat.
Okay. Well, yes, we've been talking about it for several years. And finally, one meeting, someone said, well, we should think about doing a writer's retreat. So I took it on myself to go out and find a place to have it. Because I thought, well, if we were really going to do it, we had to have a place to hold it. So I went to the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, and I asked them what did they think about the idea, and they were just absolutely excited. And they said, we will help you. People started offering to give me things, so we have buildings in Columbia. We have restaurants. So we set a date. They told me what date was available, that they didn't have something going on in Columbia. So September 28th, September 29th, and 30th. And so now we're having a retreat.
Oh, what a wonderful place to go for a writer's retreat. Probably most of you have been to Columbia. And if you have, you'll want to come back. And if you haven't been there, you'll want to see it for the first time. It's just a delightful town.
Yes, it is. It's, and the people there are just wonderful. We have a huge selection of classes and workshops that are going to be available. We're doing a lot of different things. We have an American Indian who's going to teach a class on American Indian poetry. Let's see, he calls it Tiny Story, a form of poetry called Upatana. And he uses drums, and he's going to be teaching a class on that. And then we have...
What's his name?
His name is Lorenzo. Lorenzo. He's a local. All of our speakers are local.
Is he Miwok or Maidu?
Apache. He's Apache.
Wow.
Wonderful man, and he's a great storyteller, too. So So he's going to be one of our classes, Blanche Abrams. She's a writer, an activist, and she's also an actress. She does The Raven. So she's going to be teaching a class, and she's very talented.
Oh, I've heard about her rendition of The Raven, and it's supposed to be wonderful. I was going to go hear her do it last fall, I think, in Sonora, and I missed it. I couldn't go that day. I'm going to want to catch her doing that this time at the retreat. We'll be right back to hear more about this writer's retreat. Stay with us. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. Today we're talking with Jill Klagick-Ryan about the Sonora Writers Group retreat that they're putting on September 28th, 29th, and 30th of this year in the beautiful town of Columbia. And we're going to learn from Jill right now about the program that's set up for this retreat.
Yes, thank you. Well, we'll start off on Friday, September 28th at Black Bart Skillet in Columbia. They have given us their restaurant for the whole weekend, and we will have a little hors d'oeuvres and stuff to get people acquainted that first night. But then the most unusual thing we're going to do is we're going to do a ghost walk. So we're going to have our poetry reading that evening up in the cemetery, the old historic cemetery of Columbia. And we're going to have just members of the community, because it's open to the public as well as to our retreat participants, to come and read ghost poetry or scary stories. And the moon is going to be full. My husband checked into that, so we're going to have a full moon. We'll be up in the cemetery.
This is perfect. I want to go.
Oh, good. Thank you. And then Saturday morning, of course, we'll start the actual workshops where we have all of the teachers and instructors will be. We'll start at Black Bart Skillet again in the morning with coffee and juice and a guest speaker. And right now we have three guest speakers. I don't think we have them all confirmed, but we do have Alexander Chow Stewart. He's one of our local celebrities in Tuolumne. He's a screenwriter. He lives here now with his young family, and he's very talented. He has written several books, and one of them he sold as a movie. So he will be talking about how to do that and how that worked for him. And then we have our classes. Everyone will be free for lunch to go anywhere in Columbia, and we have some fabulous restaurants in Columbia, little out-of-the-way tea shops and restaurants, and then we'll meet back for our classes, and then we'll have dinner for the participants at Black Bart Skillet and another guest speaker, and then we're going to have some entertainment by the Devil Mountain Boys. They'll be entertaining all of us, and then we'll have an open mic, and our open mic is going to be open to the public, where people can come from all over and listen to the different writers and participants of the workshop read their work. And I think that's going to be really fun and interesting. And we're going to have the cowboy poet that's coming. They travel all over California.
Is it a group of cowboy poets?
It's a woman and a man. Her name is Wendy Brown Berry. She and her companion are coming. They travel all over and, you know, do the cowboy poetry. She's also going to be teaching a class on cowboy poetry, which is different. So that will be fun. And she's extremely talented, beautiful lady.
I love cowboy poetry. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, during this time, too, on Saturday, we're going to have an author's row. So anyone that has a book that they've published, self-published, or they've had published, are welcome to come over. There's no charge. And you can set up a table and talk to and share your book with all the participants and just the general public that will be there in the town of Columbia that day.
This is wonderful. So assuming it's going to be good weather, because California always has good weather, this is going to be outdoors along the street or where?
No, we have a place called Angelus Hall that's going to be made available to us free of no charge. Where we can have our author's row, and we'll also be having some of our classes in that building as well.
Oh, my. What a wonderful idea, and to invite other people who aren't even connected with the retreat to come and sell their books. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If you've written a novel and you have it available and you want to come and share it, come on out and share it. We'd love to see it, and we'd love to hear about it.
Oh, well, that's just a great offer. I'm sure you'll have a lot of people taking you up on that. They'd better contact your organization then and sign up for the space soon, because I think the space might go pretty fast. How do they contact you?
Well, they can contact us through the Sonora Writers Group, and our website is www.sonorawriters.org. So you can contact us through there.
Okay, make sure you remember it's org, not mm-hmm. com.
So then Sunday morning, we will start off again with a panel of publishers that will be there to answer questions. They'll make a little, maybe 5-minute speech, and then the audience can ask them questions. They will be available. And we'll have breakfast, of course, and then we're also going to have some literary performances. This is all going to take place in Angelo's Hall again, and then we have a guest speaker. And then after that, it's not over yet, after all of that, around 12:30, we're going to have a lady who is going to lead us through the old historic town of Columbia and tell us ghost stories about the town and the history of the town.
Oh, come on, folks. You've got to come to this. You won't want to miss it. And what is the cost for this this weekend retreat?
Okay, the retreat, to attend the classes and to have the breakfasts and the dinners, is $145 to attend all 3 days of the retreat. And if you register before August 31st, it's going to be $145. After August 31st, we'll probably raise it to about $175.
Still a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot for, and lots of ghosty things in my
business. Yes.
And just in time for Halloween coming up in October.
Really? Yes, absolutely. It's going to be fun.
So, Jill, just to repeat again so that people can get this, and also I'm going to have this information on my website, which is manzamedia.com. But right now, if you've got your pencil and paper and you want to write this down, the website for the Sonora Writers Group, where you would contact them to find out all about, see the whole list of the faculty and all the workshops that are going to be offered, and also reserve your table space for mm-hmm. the book sales and sign up and get your money in for the retreat, is www.sonorawriters.org. And the phone number to call would be
Blanche Abrams, 588-0711.
Okay, and that's area code 209-588-0711. And as I said, I'll have it on my website. One more thing I wanted to ask you, Jill, before we leave the topic of the Tuolumne Writers Retreat that's happening in September. Do you have information on your website about where people can stay? Because obviously it's going to be an overnight type affair for the people.
Yes, we will have. We don't have everything collected right now, but we will have. We'll have the City Hotel there in Old Town Columbia. It's just an absolutely beautiful place. So we'll have that and some local bed and breakfasts that are located in old Victorian homes. And then, of course, you know, our local motels that are available, but I will have them all listed.
Oh, that's great. I bet that City Hotel has its own ghosts, too. Every Gold Rush hotel seems to have its ghosties.
Yes, it has its ghost story, and the Fallon House is another one there in town, and we'll hear those stories on Sunday.
You know, I went to Columbia last fall. Oh, I go there often, but last fall I went and I had my first stagecoach ride there. I got to ride shotgun on the stagecoach, and we went out along this old Gold Rush trail in through the woods, and you know we got held up by Black Bart.
Oh, no, not again. We try to keep him under control.
Oh, he's impossible to keep down. That's just another fun thing that people can do when they come. And there's a famous candy store there, the Candy Kitchen, or I forget mm-hmm. what it's, the Columbia Candy Kitchen.
Yes, right? Yes.
And all, and the tea shop. Oh, my goodness. There are so many wonderful things about Columbia.
Oh, everyone's going to really enjoy it. And what a beautiful, peaceful place to go and be inspired to write.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, talk about being inspired to write. You are in your Sonora Writers Group. You are being very careful to bring along some young people. You're making sure that you have a way for teenagers to come into your group and you give them a place. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, right now we have two teenagers that come regularly to our writers group. One of them is Alicia Jacobs, and this past year Alicia entered the Scholastic Press Regional Writing Contest for California, and she won the Silver Key, which is like the second place of all of California in her fantasy writing. And we're just so thrilled with her. She got a scholarship, and of course she gives us credit for helping her. She's just really, oh, she's so talented. We're very proud of her. And then we have Martin Miller. We call him Michael. I don't know why, but his name is Martin Miller. He's a young 15-year-old from the local high school, and he writes fantasy. And we've asked him to teach a class in fantasy writing for the youth in the Tuolumne County or wherever, you know, wherever they come from to come to our retreat. And he's going to be teaching a class. I think we're only charging $15 for the students to come. And he'll do a great job.
They don't have to come for the whole retreat. They can just come for his class.
Yes, they can just come for his class. And like I said before, a lot of our activities are open to the public and they're free. So we're hoping that, you know, some of the teenagers and the young people in town will come out for those activities as well.
I think you're going to get a lot of people there. A lot of interesting folks. Now, I've just been given some very important information. This is a news bulletin. Breaking news. The same weekend of the Tuolumne Writers Retreat, people are going to be treated to a second, just unimaginable event. It is the Poison Oak Festival. You won't want to miss that either, folks.
It's in Columbia every year.
It's in Columbia every year. And you are guaranteed not to go home with poison oak, but you will learn a lot more about it. Am I correct in that?
Yes, you're correct.
Yes, I see nodding heads. Okay. All right. Now, Jill, you wanted to tell us another thing about your beautiful anthology that the writers group has put together. It's dedicated to a really special person.
Yes, it is. The Sonora Writers Group in 2010 put together our first anthology, The Second Saturday, and we dedicated it in memory of Jerry Henry. A lot of folks in Tuolumne remember Jerry. He was a local sheriff. He was very well known and very well loved throughout Tuolumne County. And he was a member, one of the founding members of our writers group. He wrote poetry, rhymed stories, and I'm not sure exactly what you would call it, but he would write stories about his life and his thoughts, and they would rhyme, but they were stories, and it was just the neatest stories in the world. I'd like to try to read one of them, if I could. I would wipe my nose on the sleeve of my shirt, get down on my knees and play in the dirt. One thing I could never do, although I tried, was to wear my shoes when I played outside. I could run for a mile at the speed of light and sleep with the angels when I was in bed at night. I would wash my face but never comb my hair and probably look like a bum, but really I didn't care. I would never walk, I always had to run, and enjoyed each minute of the summer sun. I was terror of the neighborhood, some would say, but I was just a boy growing up in my own way. I would walk my dog, just him and me, for there was no place to go and lots of things to see. I would pretend that I was someone big and strong, and as we would sit and dream, sometimes all day long, that someday I would save the world. You wait and see, but I couldn't get him to listen to me. I never liked school and the rules they made, so I stayed 2 years in the second grade. But for now, I'm busy. There's so much to do, and each day I learn something that before I never knew. Now I feel something inside of me taking place as my life goes on at this rapid pace. I can only look back with pride and joy and wonder whatever happened to yesterday's boy.
How nice. Well, thank you for reading that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. We're talking today with Jill Klagic-Ryan about the Sonora Writers Group, and we have already discussed their wonderful Tuolumne Writers Retreat that's going to be taking place in September, and you can go to www.sonorawriters.org to see a list of the faculty, all the events that are taking place, and get more information on signing up and getting in for that early bird special fee of $145 before it goes up to $175 in August, I think you
August
said.
August 31st.
August 31st. So go to that website and check it out. Now, Jill, you've done quite a bit of writing yourself. You're sitting there in front of me, and I see you've got your own novel. It's called With Dignity. What's it about, and how long did it take you to write it?
Well, it took me a long time to write it. Well, actually, the very first draft, it took me one summer. I sat down one summer evening and just started writing with a pencil and a yellow pad.
Yeah.
And I was just writing. I could not stop all summer long. And I had five children in the home at the time.
Oh, my God.
I finally finished that. But then the rewrite and the editing and putting it into the computer has taken a lot longer than I had ever thought. And I'm still working on it. But it's really a labor of love. It's based on the stories that my father would tell me and tell the neighbors and tell anyone who would listen about Arkansas in the 1916 up to 1940s. His father and his grandfather and himself on the farm. And so I just took all of those stories and I made up a family and I put it into a novel. It's historic, but yet it's a fiction.
Have you been able to share it with your dad, or is he no longer with you?
Yeah. No, my father had died before I even started writing the novel, but my mother was alive and for me to read the first draft to, and I did read it to her, and I made up the names. I went to Arkansas, and I picked names off of tombstones in the old cemeteries. And so then I read it to my mother, and she sat very patiently, and she listened to the whole entire thing, probably about a week's time of reading in the evening. And when I was all finished, I said, "Well, Mom, what did you think?" And she said, "Well, honey, you can't say that about Mrs. Presley." She was a good, God-fearing woman. She was the preacher's wife, and she would never have done such a thing. I had her as the town trollop. Now, I didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, amazing. It's wonderful that you had someone there who knew exactly who this woman was and could just set you straight. So did you change a lot of names?
No, I didn't. I'm thinking that, well, my mother has since passed away, too, so I'm thinking everyone that's in the novel that I used their names have probably passed away, and I just think that was so cool that I kept Mrs. Presley as the town trollop.
Oh, my, that's funny. You know, I'm writing a book, too. It's a novel set in the Civil War, and the book opens in I have two hometowns back in New York State, really close to each other. They're only 12 miles apart, but this book opens in a little town called Ellicottville, New York. And at least now, as it's in the writing stage, I am using names of people that I knew as I was growing up, partly because I just want to remember their names and have them in there a little bit. I may have to change them, though, later. We'll see.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I did, too. I have cousins and great uncles and grandfathers. I've mixed their names up. You know, you might have a first name and a last name that's different, but they're all in there for the same purpose. It's memories.
Yeah. Well, would you read something to us from the book?
I will read the very first opening chapter.
Okay.
Blood was everywhere, and the screams filled the mountain with a freezing chill. The smell drew a tight, bitter taste to his mouth. The sounds that came from the dogs were haunting and unfamiliar. Blood on old Chalk's mouth flashed in Matt's mind, and the look in the dog's eyes as he struck him dead was drawn in his memory like indelible ink. Sarah Jean's cries tore at his heart until he was sure his head would burst. There was no light in the room. The moon was covered with dark, rain-filled clouds. Matt Hawkins sat on the side of the mattress and shook. He folded the cigarette paper in the middle and poured the Prince Albert tobacco into the small crease. Some of the tobacco fell onto Matt's bare leg and onto the rag rug under his feet. He closed the can and licked the paper shut. He struck the match on the bleach plank floor. The light flickered as he took in his first breath of smoke. Lizzie stirred. "Matt, did you have another bad dream?" she asked. "Just the same old nightmare. Go back to sleep. I'll be all right." Matt held the next breath of smoke and wondered to himself, "How did I let this happen? Why didn't I just say no?" He laid back down and hoped for a few more minutes of sleep.
Wow, that's a pretty gripping opening. I think you will hook a lot of readers with that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, now you said that's all you want to share from your own book right now?
Well, I could tell you a little bit about story, maybe.
Yeah, fill us in, because you got me curious.
Well, it takes place in 1916 in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas. And it's basically about two families living next farms to each other, and all of the things that happen, you know, in between families and trying to raise families in the 1960s in the cotton farms of Arkansas. A lot of trauma, a lot of dramatic things, you know, going on, and from one day to the next. Writing the novel was an experience all of its own. I had left Arkansas when I was 4 years old. Mm. Came to California, and I was raised in California, and I went back for the first time when I was 35.
Oh my.
And to research the novel. And so it is based on historical surroundings, the crops, the lifestyle, the food, everything I researched, even down to a $200 barn. That it took in 1916 to build a barn was $200, and I have all of that factual information in there. But the people and the stories are just based on, you know, some stories that my father would tell me. It's a lot of research goes into writing a novel when you want it to be, you know, as factual as possible.
Boy, I certainly know that.
It was a lot of fun writing it. It was a lot of fun writing it too, and I learned a lot about my family and about myself.
I bet your mom was pleased, even though she disagreed about the names. I bet she was pleased to hear everything that you read.
Oh, she was. She said that it was a great story, and she loved every night. After dinner, she was right there in her rocking chair waiting for me to read.
Well, okay. Now you wanted to read something from the anthology too. You have quite a few people who contributed.
Yes.
And so let's hear some of what they did.
Well, our writers group is made up of about 12 regular people that attend, and every one of them writes different. You know, we write, some of us are writing novels, some of us are writing fantasies, some write poetry, some write short stories. And just to attend a writers group is just an education all on its own, and it's just so fun to go. And you never really have to pick up another novel yourself. You just go and listen to everyone read their beautiful stories and their novels.
How many people get to read on a given evening?
We meet in the morning, the second Saturday morning of every month at 10:30, and everyone gets to read. We have some rules of etiquette, so you can bring 3 to 4 pages, and you get to read them, and then we critique what you read. And everyone gets a turn. We're there for about 2.5 hours, usually on a Saturday morning. Well, Phil Nichols is one of the contributors to our second Saturday anthology. I'll read something that he wrote. And he usually just writes little short, very short stories. Banquet for the birds. I set the seed, the bird feeds to feed. And up they came to fill their need. Upon the feeder they would stay to have a meal and have a play. The little ones first came around to steal a meal with not a sound. Then came the jays to shoo away my former friends of earlier day. I saw them flit, I saw them fly, and then the lesser ones took flight. Then greater jays would join the race, the lesser jays now to replace. And with each new departing group, my own sad heart would fly the coop. For as I saw them cast asunder, I mourned their unritting hunger. I wondered if some law of nature compels every winged creature to seek for power and seek for gain, without regard for causing pain. And will this state forever be the fate of their community? How can I make them see the light? How can I give them human sight? So they can see that if they share, there is enough abundance there. Perhaps there is one thing they lack, one watershed that holds them back. Pray come their Messiah hither to show them how to live together.
Oh, that's nice. Those pesky jays, they do. They're so pretty, but they're so nasty.
I know. When I was here in Angel's Camp years ago, I had a squirrel that had to join in, and he would come and fight. But the blue jays, they would beat him up, too. They would chase the squirrel up the tree.
The only ones I think who could give the blue jays a run for their money would be the crows.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, we have time for one more short one.
Okay, then I will read a poem that I wrote for my brother. I remember playing cowboys and Indians, walking home from school with you, Saturdays at the movies, and jumping on Mama's bed. I remember long summer walks, games I never lost, you saving the last sugar baby for me, and secrets we never told. I remember birthdays, vacation Bible school, letters signed I love you, and long hugs in the hall. I remember you, my favorite playmate, loving brother, best friend, and now I am left alone, remembering. My brother passed away of cancer when he was 40 years old.
Oh, how sad.
Yes.
That's a wonderful tribute to him. What was the name of that poem?
Brother.
Oh, good name.
I couldn't come up with any other.
Well, that was a very nice tribute to your brother. Jill, it was wonderful having you with us today. I'm sure the listeners got a lot out of hearing your talk and your news and all the information you gave us about the Writers' Retreat. Hope you'll come back and see us again sometime here at Manzanita Voices.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And for everyone listening, don't forget to go to my website, manzamedia.com, and I would love to hear your emails. Read your emails, Linda@manzamedia.com. Have a great week.